Please bow your heads and pray with me. Father, we thank you that you've gathered us here this morning. We pray that, Holy Spirit, you'd speak to us. Take these words and thoughts of mine and use them to speak to us. Take our ears and finally tune in the midst of all that I say, Jesus. It's your word we'd hear. Amen. Please be seated. The elusive time, where does it go? Hard to believe that this will be my seventh year as rector at St. Nicholas Church. Hard to believe that my youngest is 27, or my oldest is 27, I'm sorry, and my youngest, Joshua, is in his third year of college. It's hard to believe. So that means we've been empty nesting for 3 years. It's a good chapter. I like it. But it does have its challenges. As most of you know, last week, my wife and I went on a cruise at a wonderful time, so we reconnect with the kids, and things seem to be great, but Wednesday night, 12:30, I hear my wife's phone ringing. I'd put mine on silent, and it's Jonathan's ring, my oldest. I look at my phone. There are 10 text messages and 5 calls. The one text message says, "Dad, don't be upset, but I lost my keys at work and can't get into my apartment." He lives at 75 and 635. I got back into bed at 2 in the morning. The next morning at about noon, Joshua calls. "Don't be upset, but I didn't go to class today." "How come?" "Well, I was on the bathroom floor all night throwing up. I think it's something I ate." Really wasn't back to normal until about Friday night or Saturday. Laurel said, "Do we need to bring him home?" "No, he don't want to be infected by whatever he has. Leave that there. We'll do it here." Okay. Leaving home. So I look at those that haven't yet left home. There will be a time. Mom and Dad is preparing you to be independent and leave home. Harsh reality. It's real. We were all prepared to leave home and be independent. Leaving home. It's what we all do. Sometimes we can't wait to leave. Sometimes we're not quite ready to leave, and we need the nudge out of the nest to make that move of independence. Other times it isn't even a choice, but it's hard reality. Regardless of how it happens, we all leave home. Adam and Eve left home, the garden. Noah left his dry land home. What a huge change. Never really seen rain to that extent on the earth. And now he's in a ship and doesn't see any dry land. God told Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you." Left home to a place he didn't know where it was. Jacob ran from his home fearing for his life. Moses and the Israelites left their home, which had become Egypt. And in today's gospel reading, Jesus leaves home. The Gospel of Mark started by saying, so I read it this morning, "Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee," home, home, "to the Jordan." Jesus is leaving home. And there he's baptized. The heaven opened, and the Holy Spirit descends on him like a dove. And a voice declares, "You are my son, the beloved, with whom I am well pleased." And then the text says, and immediately the Spirit led him out into the wilderness. What was happening in the wilderness? Because in the Mark reading, we have no clue what really had the in and outs of the wilderness, other than he went to the wilderness and there were wild beasts there, there were angels that ministered to him, and there was the adversary, Satan. And he did battle with him. But we don't have a clue of the battle, but we know what happened because we've read the other Gospels. But you see, Mark's not concerned in the telling of the story for what was the battle. He just presents there is a battle. The Holy Spirit pushed him out of the net. The word for drove is the same word used in other parts of Mark for when the Holy Spirit drives out demons from demon-possessed people. Jesus is pushed out of the net. He's left home into the wilderness with the wild beasts and the adversary. Doesn't that sound something like the world out here? When did you come to that realization? I hope not yesterday. That life is not fair and it's not easy. I don't know why I don't think my parents said that life was fair or that life was easy. But somehow we have to learn that, and we learn it the hard way, don't we? It's rough out there. It's not comfortable. That's the very point that Mark is making. He's making a point of understanding for us. I understand and I know the life outside of home is no longer comfortable. It's rough. But he's making more than a point of understanding. He's making a point of comfort. However, I have given Jesus what he needs for the roughness to battle the adversary. Now in Mark, we don't have the account of what the tests were with Satan, and we don't have the victory scene. But what we have is he sent out of the wilderness who he sent into, the wild beasts, the rough terrain, and the adversary. And then all of a sudden the next line is, oh, now Jesus has come back after 40 days and he's preaching the kingdom of God is here. I guess he won. That's what you have to assume if you've only read Mark, but we can assume more because we know the fuller story from the other gospels. Jesus was given all that he needed to combat all that he confronted. If God the Father is willing to do that for his son Jesus, would he not be willing to do it for all of his children? That's what Mark is trying to bring across, both understanding and comfort. Let's look a little bit at the life of the disciples. People that have given up everything and followed Jesus for about 3 years. Heard all the teaching, watched the miracles, devastated with the crucifixion, excited at the resurrection. But yet we read in John chapter 20, verse 19, after all that had happened, on the first day of the week, when it was evening, the disciples were behind locked doors for fear of the Jews. They knew that if they went outside into the world, they could lose their life. And they feared the Jews thereafter them. But then we read in Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, the fearful disciples. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were seated. And divided tongues as a fire appeared on them and rested on each one of them. And they were baptized, filled, saturated, and as the Amplified said, diffused throughout their souls with the Holy Spirit. What then happens? They unlock the door, walk outside to at least 3,000 people, more like 5,000 or 10,000. And Peter preaches the first sermon of the church, and it's a sermon with great boldness. Very clear, very confrontational. And the crowd's response? Acts chapter 2, verse 7. And when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? How do we get what you have? How do we get what we need to live this life? Because it's rough out here. It's not fair. And the adversary is after us. And I look at you, Peter, and I see a boldness that I don't have. How do I have what you get? Or how do I get what you have? Peter said, repent and be baptized, saturated, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Wow. The very thing that Jesus received to go out in the wilderness was given to the disciples, and Peter is saying it's available to all those that believe, if only they'll ask. If we believe and trust, it's available to us, the Holy Spirit. That's the point of Mark's gospel in his account of the baptism and the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness. It's tough out there, but I've given him and I will give you that which you need for the roughness of life, for you to be more than treading water, but standing tall. John chapter 14, verse 12. Truly I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I'm going to the Father. What happened when he went to the Father? The Spirit comes. When the Spirit comes, he will enable all those that trust in him, if only they'd ask for him to flow through them, to do the very works of Jesus. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. See, that's what's available to us. Life is not fair. It's not easy. It's much more comfortable to stay home. But we were raised to be independent. We are called to go out into the world and not isolate ourselves. But God, how can we do it? I'll give you what you need. I'll give you what you need. But how do we get it? Well, listen to what Jesus says in Luke chapter 11, verse 11. What father among you, if a son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those that ask him? We just ask. We just ask. As I said at 8:30, unfortunately, we live in a church culture in which we think just because we're present, it all happens. But as James says, you do not have because you do not ask. At 8:30 this morning, I looked over this way as I was preaching, and I saw Ruby Clary, who was a member of the church in Jasper that I served now 20-some years ago. And her daughter came with her today, and it was great to reconnect with her daughter. And I said to the Clarys, I said, remember Vance? And they said, yes, and I've told this story before. He had gone with me from Jasper here to Dallas to First Baptist Euless to an evangelism course. And we were required, as we took that course, to attend one of the Sunday services at the Baptist church to see how they did evangelism. And you could choose out of the variety of services. And I said to Vance, I'm going to go in the evening. I want to go to an Episcopal church in the morning. And he said, I'm going to go in the morning because I just want to rest in the evening. 70-some years old. Great. I get back from where I went to church to go back to the class before I would go to church that evening, and there's all this buzz around Vance. And I said, what happened? He said, well, the preacher gave, of course, a Baptist altar call. And he said, you have to ask for the forgiveness. It isn't just granted to you because you're here. And he said, I couldn't but help remember, growing up, I would go to the ice cream parlor on Sundays with Mom and Dad. And we would walk in, and I would sit in my seat, and they would go up and get the ice cream and bring it back to me. Except when I became 5 or 6 years old, this one Sunday we went in and I sat down on my seat. They went up and got ice cream and they came back and they didn't have any for me. And I said, Mom, what's the deal here? And she said, you're old enough to ask for it. And as I sat in that pew at that Baptist church, I realized, as I heard the preacher, I've never asked for it. I've just assumed that his forgiveness was granted to me, that he's walked with me. And he said, so I go up and ask for it. 70-some years old. We have not because we ask not. If you ask him for forgiveness, he will cleanse you. If you ask him for his Holy Spirit, he will give it to you. For all those that believe. And then you will have what Jesus had to face the wilderness. To come out of the nest and face the cruel and hard world. Ask. Ask. Don't assume. So that you will be equipped for every good work, and to be more than treading water, but to be conquerors. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for giving to us, making available to us, not just giving to us, because we do have to ask, but making available to us forgiveness of sins and the power of your Holy Spirit to be more than conquerors. May we come to the place to ask for it and not assume we have it just because we're present. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.